This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
This is the Casey Smith Show.
So let's hear it one more time. Together, clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go.
Here's your host, Casey Smith. Are you smiling
by my table? We've had a million random shows in the tenure of the 3 months doing the show with SB Nation Radio. This one might take the cake. Welcome in on a Friday, the Casey Smith Show, live with Annie Kuntz, as always.
We are twinning,
and this was not planned. We do this a lot, though.
We do.
And I see sometimes comments on either Twitter or Facebook or whatever, like, are they actually twins?
Yeah.
Maybe we are. Like the brother from another mother. Like, I don't know what the twin version of that is. But maybe we are. And we're both really tall. I'm not as tall as you, but close.
But you're pretty damn close up there.
I put some heels on. I'm up there.
Yeah, you wear those stilettos and we good.
I think that no matter how tall you are, you should always wear stilettos.
I've started wearing them, but not stilettos. I'd be like 6'6". That'd be an issue.
Annie is very tall. She is an Olympian, so that's okay. And I'm going to continue. She's totally just gotten over the fact she's going to correct me. She's training for the Olympics. That means she's an Olympian. Right?
Like, we'll let it...
here's the thing. Okay. If you're an actress and you're acting in things, you're a movie star, television star in your own right. Right?
Right. But that's like saying like I'm a Grammy or like a Grammy Award winner, like Academy Award winner when I haven't done
I didn't
that.
Say you were an Olympic medal winner.
Yeah. But if you're an Olympian, you've gone to the Olympics.
Have you worn Team USA's jerseys? Yes. Okay. You're an Olympian. That's at least the way I'm doing it. Welcome in on social media. Like I said, this is the Casey Smith Show, a random Friday. And if you're watching, listening, however you're doing any sports talk show this week, because obviously the Super Bowl is still a week away. Lots of random topics. We were talking about before the show, the Dan Patrick Show, one of my favorites, talked about Eminem, the rapper, for like 30 minutes the other day, like because everybody's just begging for content right now. But we're going to do our best. There's a lot of random headlines going on in the sports world. But when there's not a lot of football talk, shows like us who center around football, obviously, we have to sit down and be like, okay, what are we going to do today?
The beeline sport topics that we're going to go for.
And like people up in the north, you know, they love hockey. There's obviously a lot of people love basketball, love baseball. But down here, and of course, in our friend circles, football is king. That's what it is. So the Senior Bowl and the Pro Bowl this weekend, we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm not real big on games like that, all-star games. Like, I just really don't care about them. The biggest headline coming out of the Senior Bowl that I've seen for me, was the big deal about the Browns asking Deshaun Watson to participate. He's obviously not. And then Jerry Jones not, but still trying.
Avoiding the topic.
Like, you can't even,
Romo.
like he doesn't want to talk about Tony Romo, but then he is talking about Tony Romo. We're going to talk about all of that. And then, of course, Brent Musburger retiring. That's a huge headline, obviously.
He's 77.
Decades of being one of the best storytellers. We're going to look at some of that stuff. We're going to talk about the Australian Open and, of course, the NBA drama. And I am not a huge, huge regular season NBA fan. I like to watch it.
Like playoffs.
I obviously worked in the NBA for a little bit. I get into it later on, right?
Right.
I love drama when it comes to this stuff as a fan. And then, of course, Tiger Woods. Got a lot of random stuff going on, but welcome in on social media. If you're joining us on Twitter, Periscope, or Facebook Live, of course, gridironnow.com. Gridiron Now is a lot about football, and there's very little football to talk about. We're going to do our best. And of course, SB Nation Radio nationally every week and iTunes. So we welcome you in. The big question of the day, and we do want to hear from you guys on social media. We're going to talk a lot about Brent Musburger, obviously. What's your favorite moment of his? A lot of people always think about his 2013 moment with Catherine Webb. Obviously, his most recent situation with the Joe Mixon comments. But Brent Musburger has had an incredible career, called a lot of really cool moments. We had the opportunity to have Vern Lundquist on the show earlier this season. A year where you're losing two.
I was going to say, a lot of big people retiring this year.
Very legendary voice. Of course, Vern is still going to stay in the mix with golf. But, I mean, Brent Musburger is done. Next Tuesday is his last game calling the Kentucky-Georgia basketball game. Last game with ESPN. Just what's your favorite Brent Musburger moment? We want to hear from you. And then the other topic is, with there not being a lot of football going on, obviously the Super Bowl is ramping up, and we could talk about the Super Bowl till
For a while.
For a while. And we're going to next week on Monday's show. Of course, I'm going to be in Houston on Radio Row, getting to do some cool stuff. We'll talk about that on Monday. But what do you like to watch when football is not on? What are you entertained the most by? And it's interesting when we have this conversation, even just in our production meeting that was very quick before the show, all the different answers that come out of big time football fans, because you would think, oh, basketball, I guess, or maybe baseball, but it's always like the random sports. And there's a lot of random things going on across, and I say random, meaning not near as big as football, right?
Right, right.
At least in our world.
B-list sports.
So what do you like to do when football is not on? Mm-hmm. And then what's your favorite Brent Musburger topic?
Yeah, let us know.
We want to hear about it. Carly, the producer who made her second time national debut mm-hmm. on Monday on the show, she will be getting all of those to us, and we'll talk about all of that later. We want to hear from you. It's random. It's a Friday. It's random. You never know if there's alcohol in my cup or not. We want to hear from you guys. So, of course, you know, let's talk about Brent a little bit. Obviously, mm-hmm. he worked for ESPN. I had a chance to be around him a little bit in my time with ESPN and the SEC Network. I never got to work with him, which sucks. Mm-hmm. But he is officially retiring. He came out with some awesome quotes, by the way. He's not only retiring, he is going to work in Vegas on a sports handicapping business. And everybody knows Brent Musburger loves gambling. He gets it in his broadcast whenever he can, right? If there is not a more Brent Musburger type thing to do than going to work basically in gambling in Las Vegas with his family at 77 years old, I don't know what it is.
It's never too late to attain your lifelong dream of and passion of gambling for him. I think that's awesome. And to do that at age 77 is so fitting for him, I feel like.
Well, and how about the fact that like his name attached to it is going to be very successful right away, because people who are betting on sports obviously know who he is. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's not just college football. He's done the Masters. He's done the NBA. He's done college basketball, tennis. I mean, he was the lead voice for CBS for a decade in the mm-hmm. 80s. I mean, if not more. So he's been around. So having his name attached to it is wonderful. But I was going back and I was kind of looking at, you know, favorite moments in his career. And like, obviously we were not born when a lot of those things were happening, but he's
70s and 80s.
The biggest thing for me, and so he's such a good storyteller. And I think that is so important in the career of especially a play-by-play person.
It's huge.
Because that is your look at what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of reading some stuff that he had said. And one of my favorite quotes of his is he said, you know, everything these days is about stats and in-depth things. And he's like, I'm just going to continue to be me. I'm not going to change. He said, I like pulling up a chair in a saloon. Which, by the way, saloon, like that's how old school, you know, he is in a saloon with a cold beer and telling stories. Mm-hmm. And that absolutely shows everything that Brent Musburger has shown me as a play-by-play guy. Look, I didn't care about the Catherine Webb comment. I mean, yeah, it was kind of like, oh, like maybe he should. But then he's like, I called a beauty queen beautiful.
Right.
Like, well, sue me.
Hey, if you're Catherine Webb, I'd be thanking him because she blew up after that.
He got the attention on her. And look, mm-hmm. is Catherine Webb not absolutely stunning? I mean, we know that. Obviously, AJ McCarron.
Doesn't have to be said.
I think they have a baby now.
They do.
They have a baby. She's stunning. But that didn't bother me. And maybe that's like totally anti-feminism of me. I don't know. But like, she's gorgeous. Yeah. Like, I can say, if I said it on national television, nobody would care.
Right.
I don't see it. Plus, he's, this sounds so bad. Like, he's older, right? So it's not like, to me, it's not like he's like this like 40-year-old guy. Like, creepy hey, girl, like, trying to get her. Just called her beautiful. Yeah, it doesn't bother me a bit.
It doesn't bother me a bit at all. And that's the thing I love about Musburger is he's just not afraid to say whatever he wants to say. And I think that's what made him so entertaining for so many years.
And he tells stories in a way, people like Vern Lundquist, like Bob Costas, like these names that you kind of come out. And everybody has their own opinion on who's their favorite, right? Mm-hmm. And it's for multiple different reasons. It's the way they call games. It's the way they tell stories. It's the way
storytelling of all three of those, though, is incredible. And that's what makes us so attached to these guys.
Mike Tirico. There's so many of them. Mm-hmm. But to lose somebody like Brent Musburger in college, and of course, you know, he still is calling the last basketball game next week, which
on the 31st.
Can you imagine the ratings on that if you're a Brent Musburger fan? Mm-hmm. But it's just an incredible career, an incredible storyteller. He said he was like, I'm not really ready to retire. I don't mm-hmm. do shuffleboard well. Again, fantastic comment. But that he knew that it was just that time. What was interesting is, and you know, both Musburger and ESPN came out and said it had nothing to do with the Joe Mixon comments in the Sugar Bowl. Mm-hmm. And if somehow you weren't listening to that, if you're watching or listening to us, is that, you know, he basically came out and not defended Joe Mixon. That's not the right word, but it was almost a very tone deaf is kind of the way I look at it. He was saying, you know, he hopes for a great second chance for him and didn't really acknowledge the victim or anything. And that rubbed some people the wrong way.
It's a controversial topic. There's going to.
Right. And it was a little bit like touchy in the first place, but then he went back and revisited it mm-hmm. because he had seen the reaction. When I saw it, I was like, probably not should, you know, not the way it should have been portrayed. Obviously, it should have been talked about because it was a huge storyline,
right.
But kind of a tone deaf comment. But it didn't strike it to me as he was being malicious or he wasn't caring or being, it just didn't really bother me that much. But then to see that now he is retiring, they can say
people
all
they say, oh, is he being forced out or?
Right. And he's just saying, hey, I'm making this decision because I know that it's best.
Look, he's 77 years old. I mean,
and now I'm going to go work in gambling.
He's had a 50 year career. I mean, I just to look at him and the legendary voice that he had and the influence that he's had on sports, it's a great career for him. And I don't think that had the Joe Mixon thing has anything to do with why he's retiring when he is.
And we're going to miss the You're Looking Live. That is one of like even, you know, the national championship games and all the, and then when he was moved to the SEC network and he still kept that persona, You're Looking Live.
Famous line.
And we talk about like all the personalities in sports, and obviously you connect yourselves to these people. Mm-hmm. Another story that came out this week was Aaron Andrews, obviously a massive sports personality for Fox, was with ESPN, was the College Game Day, a really resurgence of that role. I mean, obviously she was the first one doing that, coming out and saying that she's battling cervix cancer, that she not only
has been battling
and that she had surgery and then 2 days later was on a red eye flight to call a game, an NFL game.
And
you connect yourselves to these people, whether you like Aaron Andrews or Brent Musburger or Vern Lundquist or whoever. And you sometimes forget that they are people.
Well, Aaron Andrews even came out and said she didn't want to bring it up when she was diagnosed and was fighting it because of all the lawsuit things, and we all know what happened with that. And she was scared about the public eye and what people would say about it and feel for her. And that, to me, says a lot about her character.
She's so brave, too.
Tough.
And look, she gets a lot of hell and catches a lot of negative comments about what happened to her in the hotel room. Whatever, that's besides the point. Like, this woman is showing how strong and courageous she is. And as somebody who has battled cancer in my own right, you know, everybody has the different types and the different diagnosis, like everything's different. But it's so incredible to me that she wanted to keep that with her friends and family and not get the outpouring of support, because it is a difficult battle. But she thought that was best. Because
and it might have been easier with support from the community, and for her to go at it alone with just her family says a lot about her.
Because she was dealing with that massive scandal. I mean, thoughts and prayers to her family.
Definitely.
Whatever you may think about her. I mean, anytime you see something like that, just like with Holly Rowe and Shelly Smith and any of these other people, Craig Sager, all of these people battling this disease, thoughts and prayers. And again, reminding that they're human.
They're human, yeah.
And Brent Musburger, also human. Different situation, obviously, but he's going to go out and have a good time in Vegas. So what is your favorite Brent Musburger moment? We want to hear from you guys on social media. If you're just listening to us, go on to social media and weigh in. We want to hear from you guys. This is the Casey Smith Show, live on a Friday with Annie Kuntz. Thanks to GridironNow.com, SB Nation Radio nationally, and then all the social media fun that we have.
Speaking of social media,
lots of crazy things going on in social media. And like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you're just tuning in, as massive football fans, not only massive football fans, people who cover football for a living, whenever football is not the main topic outside of the Super Bowl, because obviously that's coming, but we're not going to break down the Super Bowl this far in advance. Mm-hmm. We talked all about the Super Bowl earlier. We'll talk about it next week. But what entertains you? What do you like? I like petty headlines in the NBA, because the NBA can get pretty petty. And right now, it's drama.
Dramatic stuff.
Grown ass men being dramatic.
And
we
petty.
Love and petty. We love that. So obviously two different situations going on right now. The biggest headline is the LeBron James stuff. You know, he went on a mildly profane rant, however you, it didn't bother me, a mildly profane rant about his team's need for playmakers. He kind of attacked the front office, saying that, you know, they really need to get those guys in, kind of being LeBron and kind of saying what he wants and not really thinking about it. Of course, that he said this after their sixth loss in a row in January. They did just acquire Kyle Korver from the Hawks, by the way. I covered Kyle Korver when I was in Atlanta. So everybody's debating, does LeBron have the right to do this? But it comes back to the forefront is, if we didn't have social media, would we even be talking about this? But he has made it very clear that he's very unhappy, and he's being very outspoken about his riff with the front office in Cleveland. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't really know what's going on. But from the outside looking into it, if you're trying to keep LeBron James happy, you better be doing something. Even if you can't acquire all these playmakers that he's asking, obviously he wants them, you better figure out a way to keep him quiet, because you do not want LeBron James upset with you going down the stretch.
When you have a player like LeBron James, you do everything you can to keep him happy. And provide him what he needs to be successful.
Fair or not, by the way. Yeah. Like, fair or not, it's LeBron James.
LeBron James, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a double standard there no matter what because it's LeBron James. But I just feel like in today's age, it's just social media has such an influence on teams, and it gives – we saw this with Antonio Brown and the inside that he showed at the locker room with the Facebook Live. And there's just so
Instagram
many,
with the New York Giants.
Exactly. There's so many outlets now that brings you inside to what's going on in the locker room. And from an athlete standpoint, it's not good for any program, any franchise, because you don't want people looking in on what's going on in that locker room. And it's so common, clearly, that it's happening with all these teams.
Yeah. And of course, like, the other story that's going on is the Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler drama. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But, you know, on the flip side, the devil's advocate of this LeBron James stuff is, yes, you want to keep LeBron James happy, but the NBA is bigger than LeBron James.
Right.
Now, he's the biggest name in the NBA right now. And the conversation, you know, the conversation of, you know, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, that happens all the time. But it is bigger than him. There's no question. And one day when LeBron James is not playing anymore, the NBA is going to go on.
Right.
And there's going to be another guy. Now, mm-hmm. will they ever be LeBron? Probably not. Will anybody ever be Michael Jordan? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is bigger. So there has to be that balance. But the other NBA drama storyline that's going on, this one is a little bit more ridiculous. LeBron is like, okay, we don't know what's going on. He's being very vocal. He's very sensitive a lot of times. You know, he's been out there on the court. Love LeBron. Off the court, he sometimes says stuff. I'm like, yeah. But whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's another story.
The Bulls storyline right now, though, and you talk about petty and dramatic. And if you're watching our camera feeds right now, I'm like banging on the desk because I'm like, this is so ridiculous. These are grown up men.
It really is. Acting like children.
On social media, by the way. So after the Bulls lost the other night, I think it was Wednesday night, to the Hawks. They had a 10-point lead with 3 minutes left. They blew it. Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler, apparently even like it looked like they were conspiring in the locker room, like when they came out to meet the media, because obviously in professional sports.
And the two had combined for 75 points that night?
73, yeah, but around, like, that's a lot of points. Mm-hmm. They still lose. But apparently, like, this, you know, the reports are that you could tell that they were conspiring. They came out of the showers, like, at the same time to talk to the media. They clearly wanted to share a message. Mm-hmm. Basically, they came out and said, you know, that they're not happy with the way the younger guys are reacting. It feels like they don't care. They don't want to win. There's all these different quotes you can go read. The one that really struck to me, obviously, Dwayne Wade being a 12-time All-Star, 3-time NBA champion, he came out and he said, the quote was, I'm 35 years old, man. I have 3 NBA championships. It shouldn't hurt me more than it hurts them. They have to want it. And that was kind of the overarching topic that they kept saying to the media, both of these guys, like, they just don't care. They just don't mm-hmm. care. There was some profanity laced into it, whatever. They never used names. Keep in mind, they've got another veteran on the team who has a little bit more of a shaky past. Rajon Rondo is also on the team. He has a history of clashing with coaches. Mm-hmm. Even as of December, he was benched
high
for a little bit.
High profile benching.
High profile benching. And Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler came to his defense in that. But then Rajon Rondo and all of his
glory
decides to take it on to Instagram, and it's a super long caption, super long post. But he tagged a picture with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce when he played with them in Boston.
He's
obviously
veterans.
Ray Allen was on that team as well. Mm-hmm. But he does this whole thing pointing fingers saying, my vets, mm-hmm. and points it to, this is not the young guys. This is blasting leadership.
Yeah, he says, my vets would never go to the media. My vets didn't pick and choose when they wanted to bring it. My vets didn't care about their numbers. My vets played for the team. When we lost, they wouldn't blame us. Even in Boston, when we had the best record in the league, if we lost a game, you could hear a pin drop on the bus. They showed us the seriousness of the game. And it's this long, long thing. These are just snippets of it.
He had a lot to say.
But the very, very end, he goes, when you isolate everyone, you can't win consistently. I may be a lot of things, but I'm not a bad teammate. My goal is to pass what I learned along. The young guys work. They show up. They don't deserve blame. If anything's questionable, it's the leadership.
Obviously throwing shade at Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you know, you start talking about, okay, Rajon Rondo's, you know, his reputation, his personality. I mean, when he was in Boston, Dallas, Sacramento, you can look at all these places and you know he had issues with coaches or with the front office. So you're like, okay, well, it is Rajon Rondo, mm-hmm. but what it speaks bigger to me is there's obviously an issue going on in the locker room. And where it's different from LeBron James is LeBron James is going after the front office saying, we need playmakers if you want us to be successful. This is not only pinning a situation in the locker room. it's pinning veteran versus veteran. And when you've got Dwayne Wade on your roster, somebody who's obviously been there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's very difficult for me to think that this was even close to a good idea, even though he was technically standing up for the young guys, because it was so public.
Exactly. And that's my whole issue here. I get both. I've honestly been on both sides of it. My freshman year playing soccer, we got the grunt of it from the seniors. So I've been on both sides of it. So I get where they're coming from. The younger players sometimes don't understand the seriousness of the game. And when you're that young, you take it for granted that you have all these years. And so I get both sides of it. My issue is just going out publicly about it. I just feel like these things need to be stay in house because it's causing so much. I mean, there's no
unnecessary.
Way unnecessary friction on the team. And if you don't have good team chemistry and you have all your teammates getting along, it's just going to cause a lot of issues. And the Bulls are already having a really, really tough year.
They're 23-24. They play the Heat tonight, by the way, Dwayne Wade's old team.
Exactly, which I feel like Dwayne Wade's kind of like, it's like when you break, like when you break up and you're on the rebound. I feel like that's kind of where he's at in his career. He's on the rebound from the Heat.
Well, it's like the, it's like Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, exactly. Like their drama. It's like that same thing, or it's like Roger Goodell and Tom Brady. Exactly. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously every situation is apples to oranges, but mm-hmm. it is in professional sports because you do move around so mm-hmm. much.
Right.
They play them night. They're struggling. There's all this drama going on. It's just unnecessary to me. The Very. Instagram thing. Now, I don't have a problem, and I know that you and I probably differ on this. I don't have an issue with somebody like Dwayne Wade coming out and saying, I just don't think people care. Now, here's my thing. As a media member, you want that. You mm-hmm. want to see the real reaction. You don't want the Bill Belichick.
As a teammate and as a coach, you don't.
Greg Popovich, they don't say anything, but as a teammate, you don't. As a media member mm-hmm. or as a fan of wanting to see, mm-hmm. like, football's not really going on right now outside the Super Bowl. Give us something to talk about. I don't have a problem with that. I have a way bigger problem with how Rondo handled it so publicly and so disrespectfully. I mean, to be honest, it was completely. But then, of course, we get trolled today on Twitter. Magnificent troll job.
Completely.
There was a fake response from Dwayne Wade,
which had like a 150,000 plus like,
but it was all photoshopped. It had to yeah. have been, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, we were fooled.
So clearly. he comes back, and you know, he and I put in air quotes. We think at the time for like 5 minutes, we're like, oh my god, look at this, and we're like, wait a minute, why is this not being? Oh, ESPN's trying to talk. Wait a minute, like this guy, whoever created this.
Hat off to you. Good job.
Fantastic troll job. I believed it. I really, and I'm like, oh, this is even better. Now Dwayne Wade's throwing shade back at him.
Oh, he threw it big. I mean, this is what part of snippets of his, my vets didn't assist Hunt. They made the correct pass. My vets didn't only get up for national TV games. I may be a lot of things, but I'm definitely not a diva who is past his prime. If anything's questionable, it's your perspective on how good you currently are at the game of basketball. We were like, oh, shots fired. Like, we're going to talk
like, about it. You know what the worst part about that is? I was like, well, that is kind of describing Rajon Rondo. Sure. Like, that's who that is.
Tootsie.
It was a troll job. And in fact, today, media caught up with all three of those guys after their shoot-arounds this morning. And there was, you know, no hard feelings, they said. Rondo came out and said it actually makes relationships better when everybody talks about it. They had a team meeting this morning.
Who knows the truth of that?
You put it on Instagram, dude. Like, thank you for giving us a topic and adding to the LeBron James storyline of
And this just shows how petty all this is, too, in social media and Instagram and how much I hate my generation because it runs our generation. But I did see that Dwayne Wade liked Rondo's picture that he did post.
Trolling. That's what social media does.
We'll see.
And that's why we need football season to hurry up and get back. Like, hello, like, can we break down some games, please? Of course, we will be doing that about the Super Bowl next week. Big time game. Patriots-Falcons.
Pretty excited.
It's a very close line, too. Mm-hmm. Are you going to bet on it? I know you don't bet a lot, but.
I might.
The
we'll
line.
See.
So the odds.
What was it? Wasn't more people bet on the Browns?
People preseason, according to Fox, uh-huh. more people bet on the Browns at the beginning of the season to win the Super Bowl than the Falcons. That's crazy. I don't know who those people are. Like, who are you that did that? Because mm-hmm. the Browns, if I'm going to pick any of the NFL teams,
anyone but the Browns.
It's not the Browns. Exactly. I don't care who they acquire. Like, they could get all the best talent in the world and the Browns will find a way to mess this up. Like, that's the Browns way.
Exactly.
But it'll be a fun game. We'll obviously be breaking down the matchups and everything next week. But while we're waiting for the Super Bowl to hurt, I don't like that they have 2 weeks. I get why.
I don't either.
I'm like, can we not have it on this Sunday?
I know. But then, I mean, I guess it gives us a little more time to get excited. excited about our last
and everybody game of the year. In sports talk and radio and television is like, hello, what are we talking about? This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Friday with Annie Kuhn. It's a very random Friday if you're just joining us. We want to hear what your favorite Brent Musburger moment is. Yeah. We talked about him and how great his storytelling is. Of course, the NBA drama. Another big thing in sports going on because the question is, and I love talking to different people about it. Sports fans in general are so passionate. If you're a big football fan or really a fan of any other sport, if you're a big time one sport fan, what do you enjoy outside of it? So growing up, there were two things that I loved to watch with my dad outside of football, both pro and college, was I loved professional golf and I loved professional tennis because mm-hmm. he really enjoyed watching those things too. So I grew up watching all the majors in both of those sports. Obviously right now, big time major going on in tennis, the Australian Open. But because the timing is so off, like
to watch and keep
it's,
track of
it's,
it.
I mean, like the matches are at like 2 a.m. and you're like, okay, well, if you're staying up drinking, then maybe, but then, you know, like I'll catch it tomorrow morning, but then I can't get on my social media.
I know.
So obviously the Australian Open is always a big deal if you're a tennis fan, but right now it kind of almost supersedes if you're just a tennis fan because of the two title matches. Mm-hmm. You got Venus and Serena.
Which is for the always women's. Really exciting.
And then you've got Federer Nadal, which is Saturday night, Sunday morning, whatever. Mm-hmm. Two incredible matches, obviously different in their own right because it's sisters playing against each other. But then it's Federer and Nadal, incredible rivalry. And even if you don't like tennis, you know who both of those guys are. This isn't some random guy versus somebody that's well. Like these are big time.
Huge.
And producer Ron, who has a microphone back there. So he's a huge tennis fan, grew up playing tennis, loves it. So I know he has a lot of attachment to Ronnie. Just like out of curiosity, outside of the fact that it's these two guys, when you're watching the Australian Open, even in the middle of the night, like as a tennis fan, how much fun is it?
Well, it's one of those things that you really have to be into to enjoy.
That's
it. Because it really is tough. I mean, it goes on for 2 weeks. And it's not like it's on a Friday and Saturday night, one weekend, and then it goes over the course of a weekend. So if you're really going to be dedicated to it, you got to watch. Normally, coverage will start about 9 p.m., but that's some of the matches that are earlier in the day in Australia. So if you're waiting for the prime time matches in Australia, you are staying up till 2 a.m., 3 a.m. for the match to start. I had a lot of times back in high school when I was still playing tennis that I would go to bed at 9 and wake up at 2 and stay up from 2 to 5 and then sleep for another hour and go back to school. And that's just how it worked back then for these 2 weeks of the year. It's a fun time, especially if you are with some friends that also like tennis and you have some people to follow it with you. We used to get our team together and have all night watching parties.
Dedication.
On the weekends and stuff. And it's a good time. It's definitely something you got to be into to enjoy, though.
Well, and that's what's cool about sports like this because, you know, again, being where we're from, obviously your dad played in the NFL. Anytime mm-hmm. football's on, everybody's like that. Then you hear, you know, these pockets of teams or people like Ronnie or like for my guy friends, love major golf tournaments. Mm-hmm. We'll love golf in general, but you get these things together. But the cool thing about this year's Australian Open is that we might never see Federer and Nadal play each other. And
probably not.
There might not be a bigger rivalry in professional sports right now, mm-hmm. Even though it's a lot lower key in some places. You know, mm-hmm. people don't necessarily care. But I mean, Ronnie, you can say like Roger Federer and a Nadal match. I mean, this is an incredible rivalry. And I know you have very strong feelings on it, right? Like, it's not just kind of like, oh, it's two guys playing. Like, you actually really get heated into this rivalry.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, if for the non-tennis people out there, back whenever Pete Sampras was still on top of the world, he set a record of, I think he had 16 Grand Slams whenever he retired. And people thought that number would never be touched. It was one of those just records that I don't know how this is ever going to get beaten. And then here comes Roger Federer right on the tail end of Sampras' career. And Roger Federer broke that with 17 now. Currently has 17. And it almost gets overlooked a little bit because if Nadal wins this one, he'll have 15.
So you had this
record that was almost unbreakable. And now you've got possibly two best players ever playing each other. In my opinion, I'm much more of a Nadal fan.
Why?
Because he was in a Shakira music video.
No, that's not why. I don't mind Shakira.
Us your reasoning, Ron.
So the reason why I was a Nadal fan is when I started playing tennis, this is when Federer was winning everything and before Nadal had kind of come up into his own stardom. And I've always gone against the grain and I don't like the guy who's always winning everything. It's kind of like, to me, it was kind of like the Patriots where, you know, a lot of people root against them because they are so good.
Or Alabama in college
right.
football.
I can respect them.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I have to root for him. So when Nadal came up and he was this young kid, he won his first major at 17 years old. whenever he was this young kid just coming up and being able to challenge this guy and beat this guy, I loved him. He used the same kind of racket I had, so I liked that too.
That's cute.
And so
no, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, so I tied on to Nadal, and even this morning I was watching the match. I woke up and turned the match on, and it was, you know, in the fourth set, and watched it as work started today. And I'm really excited for this match because 5 years ago was the last time they played in a final. And then at that point, you didn't know if it was ever going to happen again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For it to happen now, Nadal's 30, Federer's 35. That's really old. 35 is pretty old in tennis years. 30 is getting up there.
You gotta soak it up.
It'll be a lot of fun to watch overnight Saturday.
Especially if you're just wanting to watch really good sports. And like, you know, Ronnie said, you do have to enjoy the sport to watch it because it is long.
But I know there's those high profile athletes and matchups. I feel like that just brings its own entertainment value, even if you aren't a huge sports fan in whatever sport that is.
That's why we love sports. Yeah. And that's why you love rivalries like this. Of course, Venus and Serena, anytime they play, I'm like, you know, people are like, oh, this she's if one of them loses, they're probably happy for the sister. Hell no. Sorry, Allie. Love you, little sister. But if we're playing against each other,
it's competitive. Okay.
I mean, already naturally competitive, like kind of crazy, actually. Like I got in trouble in high school one time in a basketball game because I played basketball growing up. I got so pissed at somebody, like I threw a ball at him really hard, like not okay, right? Like I got in trouble, whatever. Like I'm so competitive that it's probably to a fault.
Yeah.
But if I'm playing my sister,
you're not happy for her.
I mean, I guess I would be happy for her, but like happy for her at my cost.
Ronnie, you're about to say.
So I was going to say one of my favorite things to watch anytime Venus and Serena play each other, which it's definitely happened a bunch of times in very high profile matches, is they will keep a camera at all times on one on their mom and one on their dad.
Yeah.
And that is what is fun
to watch. How do you watch that as
because
a parent too?
Their emotions are so high either way.
But they're a win-win though.
It's a win-win, but then you got to deal with the brunt of it afterwards.
It's a win-win and a lose-lose.
Yeah.
And it's also because, like, and they're both so successful and they've both had really great careers. And it's not like it's like the David and Goliath, like big sister, little sister thing. Like, they do have very respectful and very successful careers. So there's really not like maybe I guess as a parent, you'd probably be like, okay, I want them to win equal amounts. Like that's what I want. Like if Serena
same
wins,
amount of championships.
I want Venus to win. And obviously that's not happening. Like, you know, Serena, obviously, if you're going to pick of the two, like I think she's the better, probably one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
One of the greatest athletes of all time, in my opinion, especially in their respective sport.
Her physique is insane.
Crazy.
It's just insanity.
I love the Venus and Serena storylines. Like, I think they're incredible athletes, very respectful. But these two matches in the Australian Open, like not only is there a major sporting event going on, they're two really good matches. Mm-hmm. So watch them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, stay up all night and drink. That's what we're going
to
do.
That's an excuse Shocker. To party, guys.
Shocker. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Friday with Annie Kuntz on social media, Twitter, Periscope, or Facebook if you're choosing to use the camera aspect of it. Or, of course, gridironnow.com also has cameras too.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate that. And SB Nation Radio nationally and iTunes. Sprinkled all over the place, talking about all the randomness going on in the sports world right now as we gear up for the Super Bowl coverage next week. Brent Musburger retiring. We want to hear those thoughts. What is your favorite sport to be entertained by?
You want
to hear?
Yeah. All right. Favorite Musburger moment? Holy Buckeye game from 2002, Ohio State versus Purdue. Also when he adopted a Texas accent while broadcasting Texas OU games.
I love that people pick up on stuff like that because, you know, so many times you hear these play-by-play guys who are incredible at their jobs. Like, you know, that's a difficult skill. I mean, it really, really is. Because they are the voice of the broadcast. Mm-hmm. As a sideline reporter, you know, knowing what they have to put just into the preparation is incredible.
Yeah.
But then to tell the story of the game, I love that people pick up on that because that's what Brent Musburger is so good at. Mm-hmm. Is he is just a guy sitting around at a bar or saloon, as he calls it, wanting to tell a story. And so I remember when that happened. So I remember saying, oh, he kind of got that vibe about him. Well, he was just being a chameleon,
right,
but telling a story. And yeah, he's old and maybe, you know, he's made nobody's perfect. But if you're talking for hours and hours and hours on national television doing what they do, you're going to say some dumb stuff.
And look, I'm from Colorado and I will say that y'all, I did not think that I would pick that up as quick as I did.
Y'all is a good word.
You adopt the Texas accent pretty quick.
Of course you do. I mean, when I'm
anywhere. Oh, I get made fun of like a ton when I go home though.
Well, and like, you know, you're not supposed to say y'all if you're a sports broadcaster on television. You know, in radio it's a little bit different because it's more free flowing.
That little twang and
I mean, you know, it's fun. And Brent Musburger is the guy, one of the guys like that where you can feel like you're actually listening to a friend or listening. Love Brent Musburger. Going to miss him. Obviously, he and both Fern Lundquist too, which is kind of sad.
It is sad.
So we're talking about speaking of people who maybe past their prime. Not saying that Vern and
Tiger Woods.
Not saying that Vern and Brent are past their prime, but they are retiring. So right now, of course, you know, the Australian Open's going on in tennis. The NBA is heating up. Super Bowl next week. Everybody's gonna be in Houston, whatever. But I love golf, and like I mentioned, when we're talking about what entertains me, love professional golf. Went to the U.S. Open last year with Clay Travis and Fox. It was so much fun. My first major, but I grew up watching it with my dad. So of course, I grew up watching Tiger Woods in his prime.
Naturally.
Loved it. Even when the whole cheating scandal happened, like, again, I separate the athlete from the person. That's a common theme on this show. You know, we go all the way back to when we first started the show with Tim Tebow. I always separate the person from the athlete because there is two completely different personas. Yeah. I mean, really, there is. So right now, the second round of the tournament is in progress. The Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, which Tiger Woods fans know. He won the U.S. Open in 08 there. Always kind of struggled with that golf course. But his first official PGA Tour event in 17 months. He shot a 76 yesterday, 4 over par. The worst opening round to a calendar year of his career. He's going to have to go well, well under par today to make the 36-hole cut. You know, we saw him not make the cut in a tournament last year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago, I guess, at this point. God, time is just flying away. It's flying.
It really does.
But here's my thing about Tiger Woods. I understand for the sport of golf, and this conversation could go on for days, but he is so good for the sport of golf because so many people pay attention when Tiger Woods is in the mix. For example, you go on ESPN.com this morning, which we did, obviously, and they've got all the scores and everything going on, all the headlines, Super Bowl coverage, whatever. In the very corner, it says, follow, watch the action at Torrey Pines, : where Tiger Woods is now on the course.
Mm-hmm.
Not anybody else. And all this, obviously, there's huge names playing. Justin Rose was leading as of yesterday. Big time names, but Tiger Woods is that draw. And this is not a normal tournament that people are going to really pay attention to unless you're a massive golf fan. But for me, I don't ever, like, I loved watching Tiger Woods play. He was the greatest. GOAT. I don't want to see him fail, even though it's more, and I'm not saying he's failing, but he's not even making cuts right now.
He ain't succeeding.
And maybe that'll change. I have a hard time believing that. But to me, like, I don't want to see Tiger Woods not making the cut just so I can be selfish and see Tiger Woods play again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Tiger be Tiger just like everybody does. But if that's not going to happen, then I'm okay with it moving to that next person. I love Jordan Spieth. I like watching these guys play. Like I said, when I went to the U.S. Open, I loved watching this kind of new wave of golf. And yeah, of course, Tiger Woods is Tiger Woods. I don't want to see him play if he's not even making cuts. He's obviously unhappy. Mm-hmm. He's pissed at himself.
He's not been healthy.
He's stayed injured. I don't want to. Now, a lot of my guy friends disagree with that. Well, we want to see Tiger. We want to see Tiger.
Here's my thing, though. I want to see Tiger. You're not going to see the Tiger that we loved growing up to watch, that was the GOAT, that won the championships, that... he's just not the same player anymore. And I agree. I think that every athlete kind of comes to a point where you gotta come to reality that you gotta hang it up at some point. And I think at this point he's kind of tainting what he worked so hard for. And
do you think?
I think if he continues on this path, then yeah. I mean, I mean,
he'll
you don't
always
see,
be Tiger Woods
always, but you don't want to see him in his career just down the tube, like he's like the way that he's going right now. And if it was like the greatest comeback ever, and it was looking like he was going to make a comeback, then I maybe have a different perspective on it. But he's just not going to make the cut most likely in this tournament. And it's unfortunate to see him kind of just go down this path, and it's kind of a snowball effect, I feel like, at this point.
It's all about perspective. So one of our really good guy friends, Ryan Carter, who...
Shout out to Carter.
He loves professional golf. And he brought up a really good point when we were talking about this again, because the whole point of sports talk radio, obviously, is to sit and talk about what we talk about at home. We had a really good, interesting conversation. He said, well, Arnold Palmer did it. Jack Nicklaus did it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care. I mean, my thing is, it's like, I get that they did that and that's great. I don't care to see these people past their prime just to see them play. I think that it's a selfish thing as a fan, because you're like, oh, hell yeah, Tiger's back. I want to see Tiger, you know, make a surge on a Sunday and come back. I don't want to see him not doing that. And the way that I equate it I think golf is different because you can play for so long.
Yeah, that's a different, your career is a lot longer.
If your favorite player is Tom Brady, a lot of people love Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is no longer playing at his prime, and he is struggling to be the guy he was. Mm-hmm. We saw with Brett Favre, you see with Peyton Manning, you see these guys. You don't want to watch it because you want to remember who they were. And it's not like, oh, go out while you're ahead, because you don't want to see Tiger just disappear.
No.
But it's difficult for me to watch because, yeah, okay, he's not going to make the cut today more than likely. If he does, it's an incredible story. Well, then I'm not going to watch probably watch the tournament till Sunday.
Right.
But if Tiger was in it, okay, yeah. But at the same time, if he's not doing it, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I know, clearly. I mean, it's too...
And I may be in the minority. I don't know.
I mean, I look at it from my perspective as an athlete. And like, here's my whole thing is I'm doing this thing. I'm going for Olympics. I have these 4 years where I'm going to dedicate. And if it's not heading that direction that I want to, if I'm not scoring what I'm going to score, I'm going to realize that it might be time for me to hang it up and that I might have peaked. And I feel like it's tough for every athlete to come to that point and realize that. But you look at Tiger and how unhappy he looks.
He looks so unhappy.
And as soon as that sport's not fun for you anymore, I think you got to hang it up and just look back at the incredible career that he had and be okay with that.
I would love nothing more than Tiger to come back and like be, you know,
yeah,
be with
we
Dustin,
all would.
Be in the mix with Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth and Roy McIlroy and all those guys.
We all would. We just don't see. I just don't foresee that happening.
So of course, you know, like I mentioned, the Farmers Insurance Open, the second round is in progress. If he does make the cut, an incredible story. Don't really see that happening, but come on, Tiger. We want to see
we're rooting
it.
For you. It's just, it's not really.
And look, if he was like happy, which would be difficult if you've been that good at something and then you're no longer that good, it'd be difficult for anybody to even act happy. Mm-hmm. But that's different. Like you can clearly see that he's not. He's been through so much. It's difficult as a sports fan to watch because I love Tiger. He was one of my sports idols growing up. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like seeing it. I don't care that he brings those eyes to tournaments and that other guys have done it before. Like, I don't want to see that because it's hard for me to watch.
I agree.
Arnold Palmer was one of those guys that, I mean, still even to the, you know, to the day he died, it's like people loved him. He was always so happy. Yeah, he probably didn't like losing. Nobody likes losing, but it was kind of a different aura with him because he didn't have that conspiracy. You know, was it because he was cheating? I mean, obviously the scandal and all that with Tiger.
Right, there's a lot more that floats around him.
But maybe it's also because of the attention that's on it. Yeah, social media.
Back at social media again.
So before we close, I see obviously the Super Bowl next week. All the headlines are going to be breaking down that whole matchup. I'm going to be on Radio Row in Houston, and I'll get to announce all that stuff next week. But I see that we had a question come through before we close the show on football, because, again, this is supposed to be a football show.
Yep. I want to know if you Cowboy fans agree with Dez and believe that they're the only team that had a shot to beat the Falcons.
No.
No.
Yeah. No, and that's a Dez Bryant thing to say. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not – I like Dez Bryant as a player, but, I mean, that – I think that the Patriots, I'm picking the Patriots. And again, we'll break it all down. But no, I don't agree with that.
I don't know.
That's a Dallas Cowboys fan base thing to say, too, because the you know, it's like watching that Packers game. You know, it was a great game. You're like, all right, Aaron Rodgers is that good. And then they just get destroyed by the Falcons. You're like, damn, it would have been better.
Any team can win on any given day.
I'm picking the Patriots. But I think if the Falcons win, it wouldn't surprise me. Matt Ryan is incredible. But I don't know if their defense can stop the Patriots offense. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't agree with that. Oh. Even being a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, and I'm like a bandwagon Cowboys fan. That's okay. So I don't agree with that either.
We welcome you. Of course, the Senior Bowl and the Pro Bowl this weekend. We don't really...
I've never been a fan of those games just because it's so random. I've played in them, the All-State games and things like that. And it's just... It's not the environment that I enjoy to play in.
Like I mentioned, one of the two things I've taken away from all the Senior Bowl stuff, you know, obviously people are playing in it to get higher draft pick, whatever. Deshaun Watson not playing, whatever, had no problem with that. But Jerry Jones wanting to, quote, cool it on the Tony Romo talk. I'm like,
but how he's still sitting there talking in front of a camera.
If Alanis Morissette drop, you know, isn't this ironic? If I could play that like all the time, I would, because it's just irony at its finest. Antonio Brown was the same way. Jerry Jones, gotta love him, but
gotta love him for all that.
Want to cool it when he brings it up, right? So Senior Bowl and Pro Bowl this weekend. It's really, you know, obviously the Australian Open, golf, the NBA. We're looking forward to next week when the Super Bowl really gets ramped up right in our backyard in Houston.
Yep, can't wait. I'm so excited.
And we're heading to Houston this weekend, so we are going to have a good time.
Midtown ain't ready for us.
Lauren Clary is not ready for us. Thanks for hanging out, guys, on a Friday. We'll be back on Monday, 3 o'clock Eastern, with a fresh new show with SB Nation Radio nationally. So wherever you are in the country, we appreciate you listening. Of course, on social media, Twitter, Periscope, or Facebook, go check us out. KAYCE Smith, KC Smith TV on Facebook, and on iTunes. Download us, podcast us, whatever you want to do. We love to hear you guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on a Friday. All the football talk in the world next Monday.
Tune in.
We'll see you guys then. Have a great and safe weekend and stay friendly.